The scene that the Gospel of Luke creates for us is one that is very much a narrative. It's one that we can almost picture the way that Luke is describing it to us. Jesus is teaching and talking to the crowds on the edge of Lake Gennesaret. And the people are crowding around him, and they're interested. They're interested in what Jesus has to say about the Word of God. And he sees that there's two boats that have been left on the shore, and there's fishermen there who are washing their nets, looking probably disappointed, looking like their time was wasted, that they spent time looking and fishing and yet came back empty-handed. And Jesus recognizes this look of defeat that has probably come across their faces. And so Jesus gets into one of the boats, the one that belongs to Simon, and he asks Simon to put the boat out into the sea a little bit, and he continues to teach from the boat. And then he tells Simon, go deeper into the water, and let me put my net out. And they tell Jesus, this is all in vain because we worked all night. Simon knows this part of the water. Simon knows what this is like. He's cleaning his net after a night of failure. But Jesus tells him to do this nonetheless. And so they obey him and they trust him. They signal the others to get into the boat with them. And Jesus puts the net into the sea and catches so many fish that it can hardly stand in the boat, that the boat almost begins to sink because the nets are so heavy, which is such a dramatic shift from what had just happened the night before. Simon and the others were cleaning their nets, disappointed that there was nothing to show for the work that they had put in. But Jesus comes, gets in the boat, they obey him, and suddenly their nets are so full. Simon Peter sees this and he recognizes the miraculousness of Jesus. And so were James and John, Simon's partners. And then Jesus says to them, "Don't be afraid, for now you are fishers of people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. These stories of discipleship, of Jesus finding his disciples and them trusting in him and obeying him, offer us some important glimpses into who Jesus was. This text can be heard as both an acknowledgement of a time of emptiness and bleakness, of disappointment, but also as encouragement for discipleship, trust in Jesus, and recognition of Jesus as a source of hope, healing, and happiness. The disciples are not just blindly obeying Jesus. It's important to understand that they are seeing the work of God through Jesus. They are seeing the fruits of God. They are seeing what is going on in Jesus's life. Not only that Jesus is teaching things, but he's demonstrating them in very practical terms what all of this means. He's showing them the abundance of God. He's inviting them into an alternate economy, into an economy of justice. He's demonstrating for them what this other way of faith and hope and life can look like. Jesus is showing the particulars. He's showing this in a real world way. Not only is it just esoteric and philosophical, but Jesus is making this real in the moment, an incarnational embodiment of God's love and what God is all about. And which is why, as this was the lectionary text for this week, that I wanted to talk about a song that I discovered this week that I hope you have already listened to. If you haven't had a chance to, you can pause this right now and you can go and listen to the song Jesus Shaves by The Roaches. The Roaches was a group that was active from the late 70s until about the early 2000s. They're from New Jersey. They are a group of women indie folk rock singers. And I heard this song when I was in the car with a friend this week. And this song came on and I immediately loved it. I also included in the email all of the lyrics so you can follow along. So if you haven't had a chance to listen to it, do so now. But for those of you who have listened to it, the song is titled Jesus Shaves. And it's humorous, it's whimsical, it's lighthearted. It begins by saying Jesus shaves, joins corporate America, gets laid off, and grows his beard back, stays up late, sees a TV commercial about being a welder, makes a phone call. So Jesus shaves, goes on an interview, does real well because he's got away with people. 2 years on, he's still an apprentice, but not for long. It's graduation. Jesus shaves, puts his best suit on, gets a certificate, makes it official. Now he's a welder, wears a big helmet, and twice a week now, Jesus shaves. And then the refrain, blessed are the ones who make peace. Blessed are the ones who scrape by. Blessed are the ones living holy lives, and here's to the rest of us who try. What I love about this so much is that it embodies the incarnation. It embodies Emmanuel, God with us. And it also communicates that there are Christs all around us, that there is not only the Christ within us, but there is the Christ that is in our midst. And that God, through Jesus, knows what it's like to live in this world, knows what it's like to get laid off, knows what it's like to go on a job interview, knows what it's like to be nervous to talk to Magdalena in payroll, knows what it's like to have an awkward conversation. Jesus shaves for work on Monday. Jesus goes to an interview. Jesus wears a welder's hat. Because the sacredness of the everyday is something that is important. The sacredness of all that we do, all of the mundane realities of our lives, is deeply sacred, and Christ is present in all of that. Even when we think that something is too small for God to be in solidarity with us, God is in solidarity with us, because Christ runs through our veins, is within us and among us and around us and surrounds us. I love this song because it shows that Jesus knows what it's like to be one of us, that Jesus knows what it's like to face these things we face on a daily basis, the stuff of life. And it conveys that we too can be holy, that we too do things in our everyday that require courage and require love and faith and trust, and we are all on a journey seeking to live holy lives. Or as the refrain of the song would say, blessed are the ones who live holy lives, and here's to the rest of us who try. At its core, this gospel text asks us to be aware, to notice, to be looking out for the ways that God is acting in our lives. Oftentimes, it's not the way that we think God should be acting or the way that we expect God to act, but there always is something there, and we have to be patient enough and aware enough and to be noticing what is going on just underneath the surface. It may not be the way we want God to act or the way that we think God should act, but there always is something going on. There are little miracles taking place beneath the surface, little moments where we see the divine in our lives, little moments where we see the Christ in our midst, little opportunities where we feel the divine that is within each of us. We must sharpen our focus, be patient, and be aware, and know that God will act. We might be disappointed, cleaning our nets, feeling like failures, but something will happen that will surprise us. A surprising grace of Jesus coming and telling us to pull out from shore, to try it again, and to see what harvest we yield. There will be days when we will be disappointed, where we will be defeated, where we will be sitting in our boats on the shore, cleaning our nets, disappointed that all of our hard work was for nothing. And that's okay. But the important part is to not miss Christ when he walks by, to not miss Christ when he is in our midst, to always be aware, to always be noticing, to always be on the lookout for those small little miracles, and to have faith and to have trust when Christ presents himself to us. May it be so. Amen.